Radio.
The Proclaim 2014 podcasts. Recorded by Cradio and XT3.com.
This talk is Care for Youth Workers, Setting Boundaries and Avoiding Burnout by Corinne Linzel, youth leader at Our Lady Star of the Sea, Miranda.
Today's workshop is on caring for youth workers, setting boundaries and avoiding burnout. And it's focused on looking at the practices of parishes and movements, how they care for their workers, employees and volunteers who minister with young people, and looking to prevent burnout as well as ensuring child protection within our communities. And our speaker this afternoon is Corinne Linzel, which I've just checked. I think that's how I pronounce it right. Corinne's been a youth ministry worker in her parish for about 10 years now. She's also done a lot of crisis counselling, worked as a crisis counsellor in St Vincent de Paul, and has got a postgraduate degree in social work. She's got a great passion for youth evangelisation and working with young people and ensuring their safety and care. So I know she's going to do a great workshop for us this afternoon. I invite her up and thank you for her time.
Thank you, Malcolm. Almost 10 years. That sounds a little bit daunting. It's almost been 9 years. That's a bit safer. Actually, I like to think what will happen as a parish youth worker when if I reach 10 years, do I get long service leave? Because I don't think that's happened at a parish before. I don't know, I could be wrong. In at least my knowledge anyway, it hasn't happened. So it's 9 years today since I went on my first World Youth Day pilgrimage in Cologne in Germany. And a little bit of a story before I get started is after that, I was part of Antioch in my parish. And after that experience of World Youth Day, I went in to have a meeting with my parish priest, and I was talking to him all about my experiences over in Cologne and the pilgrimage leading up to Cologne. And I was saying to him, Father, we need to do more for the young people. Like, it's great that we've got Antioch, but what about the generation before that? What about, you know, that age group that's starting in high school, and, you know, because Antioch's from 16, year 10 plus. So it was just a conversation, and it was just because I was really hyped up and I was really excited because I've just come from something that's celebrating the youth in the church. And prior to that moment, I had worked in disability work since I was in high school, and I had my own massage business for a couple of years, and right up until World Youth Day, or right up until this meeting actually. And my massage business was a disability massage business, so it was quite a niche market. There wasn't anyone really doing that that I knew of. And I walked out of that meeting with Father Kelvin, my parish priest, as the youth worker of Miranda Parish. And it all happened so quickly. And I had to make a very, very, very important decision, and a quick decision, to say, do I give up my business that I've worked really hard at getting off the ground, creating a clientele and creating a name for myself? Do I give that up for something that I think there was a bit of a greater purpose for? And 9 years later, still in my parish, still a youth minister, and God's taken me on an incredible, incredible journey. So it's absolutely a privilege to be here and to be able to speak to you guys from my perspective as a youth minister, from a parish-based youth minister, from someone who's been involved in movements such as Antioch. I'm also a member of the Disciples of Jesus Covenant community. So I'm very familiar with groups and movements. I'm very familiar with the parish setting as well. As Malcolm said, I'm also a social worker. So one of my biggest passions that aligns so perfectly with what we do in youth ministry is the well-being of young people, and child protection kind of comes hand in hand in that. We are going to touch base on that. I do want to give a bit of a disclaimer right now before I start. I'm not speaking on any authority of the church, okay, when I'm talking about child protection. And something that I really want everyone to be aware of is this is a national conference, so I can't actually give you an overview of child protection because child protection legislation is state-based. So I only am really versed in New South Wales. I kind of know it in my sleep, but I know it back to front, but I only know New South Wales. So just putting that disclaimer out there for the start, okay? So this is what, can everyone see the PowerPoint? So this is pretty much a snapshot of youth ministry. It's quite cute, quite bright, quite happy. Everyone's quite happy and pleased to be there, and they're all together, and it's a group. I put this up here on purpose, okay? It's a little bit childish, because I think sometimes youth ministry is seen as a little bit of child's play and a little bit of just hanging out with young people and having a good time, which it is, by the way. I've spent the majority of my 20s every Friday night hanging out with young people and having a lot of fun. So it is fun. And, you know, it's quite, if you were to walk into a youth group on a Friday night, you would see the weird games and the loud noises and the music and the fastness and the fast pace of everything and young people and leaders just doing crazy things. And you do, you have a snapshot of youth ministry as it's a really fun thing. It's a thing that takes up a lot of energy, and you've got to have a lot of charisma, and you've got to be really extroverted to be a youth leader and all this sort of stuff. We're competing with the liturgical music workshops. So I'm just going to shut the door. Also just as important, by the way. So this is a bit of a snapshot of youth ministry, but there's another side to youth ministry. And throughout this entire conference, I think we've been hearing about this, and it's about kind of walking with people where they're at and walking with them as individuals and welcoming them. So if we take this concept of walking with individuals and walking with them in their faith, what does that look like? So if we were to look at this as our youth group with Winnie the Pooh and his friends, this is a bit of a counselling technique using cartoons, but Winnie the Pooh, everyone knows he loves honey. He's a little bit obsessed with honey. You know, if we take a conversation with Winnie the Pooh and we actually find out that he has an addiction to honey, and I know that sounds really funny, but that honey pot could actually represent something really real. You know, it could be an addiction to drugs or alcohol, pornography, behaviours, anything. You know, so if we're looking at a snapshot of a youth ministry and we're looking now at an individual, someone who might just have an eating disorder, a food disassociation disorder. You know, and then we have Eeyore. I think we all know that Eeyore suffers from depression, you know. And we know this Eeyore as he comes into our youth group every single night when he comes. We know he's depressed and he says it. Doesn't say it with his words, but he says it with everything else that's part of him. And yet he comes every single week and he's there. So there's something there, and we've got to try and capture what's going on there for him. Little Piglet looks so cute in that photo. But little Piglet just doesn't want to step on anyone's toes, doesn't want to bother anyone. He's really courteous, he's really shy, really softly spoken. And actually it comes out in a small group, for example, that little Piglet is riddled with anxiety, riddled with anxiety, and can't sleep at night, has so many issues going on internally that can, in a moment, become an anxiety attack or a panic attack. Then we have our little bouncy friend, Tigger, who comes in. And we can all recognise this person, this young person, coming in, bouncing in, a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, really not concentrating on anything we're saying or anything we're doing or taking any direction. And his enthusiasm is fantastic. At school, however, he gets in trouble constantly because he has to be contained and to do the rules. And at home, his parents are exhausted, very exhausted, having to deal with this, with Tigger having ADHD. But sometimes this bouncy, enthusiastic Tigger comes out with an issue, and, you know, we might end up having a ball coming through a window, and now we have an issue and an incident to deal with. These are just some of the aspects of what we can be dealing with when we are running a youth ministry, when we're running youth groups in a parish or in a group or a movement. And this concept of, you know, something that can look really pretty, when we're walking with young people individually, it can be a little bit harder. And I don't think we're always equipped for that. I know when I walked into that meeting with my priest, for those who came late, I'll tell you the story another time. But when I walked into my meeting with my priest, And I walked out of there as a youth minister. I had no idea what that was going to mean and what that was going to look like, except that I wanted to see more happen for young people. So I guess I have a little bit of a statement here, is just don't be overwhelmed by it. Because while I've kind of just explained it all in front of you to try and just look at it from another perspective, that's not what it's all about. I mean, we've been learning out throughout this whole conference that everything that we're doing in evangelization, everything that we're doing in ministry is about this relationship, and it's a whole person thing. So I want us to draw attention. I just want to apologize really quickly right now. My slides are all over the place because we just had a bit of technical difficulties. So if I'm chopping and changing, that's because I've just changed a whole lot of things at last minute. So I want us to really look at the goal of youth ministry, because we need to know what we're doing or why we're doing what we're doing before we can really unpack anything else. So this little image that I have up in the corner, is everyone familiar with that image? Who hasn't seen it before? Yeah, okay. Probably Malcolm's the best person to explain what this is, but it's the...
I was going to see
up
my hand if I hadn't seen it before.
That's really scary if you haven't seen it before, but this is the national framework for youth ministry within our church, okay, put together through the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference, which Malcolm Hart introduced himself as. That's kind of his role there. So it's absolutely an incredible document, and we're going to go through a few of their pointers right now. So, all right, so their first goal is to foster the total personal and spiritual growth of each young person. Goal two is to draw young people into responsible participation in the life, mission, and work of the Catholic faith community. And goal three is to empower young people to live as disciples of Jesus Christ in our world today. If you're to look at a job description for a youth minister, for a parish, more than likely they want the youth minister to be doing goal two, more than likely. That's the objective of a parish-based youth minister. Okay. Hopefully, because of the nature of the youth minister, they're trying to reach goal three, okay, to be empowering young people to live as disciples. It's stuff that we've been learning out throughout this entire conference. The first one floors me because it's a big job, to foster the total personal and spiritual growth of each young person. That's a big job. That's a big call for a youth minister, for anyone in youth ministry, to be looking at, okay, I get the whole concept of the spiritual growth of each person, but if we're looking at the total personal growth of someone, that's a big call. And this is why one of my biggest passions is fostering youth ministers to know youth culture and to understand and unpack youth culture, because this is actually the national framework, one of the goals, the first goal of the national framework for youth ministry is to be fostering this. Something that I think is really interesting about this document is it states that it's not a how-to guide, it's a why we are doing it. It's a guidance of why youth ministry exists and why we have such a framework. Okay, and how this can kind of be seen out in any ministry to do with youth is through these eight focus areas. And I actually think as a church, we respond pretty well to these eight focus areas. And the more and more I've worked in the church, the longer I've worked in the church, the more I realise agencies exist that actually provide so much in these areas. Except when it comes to youth ministry, this is where my PowerPoint would have done something really cool, it would have highlighted pastoral care for us, okay? Pastoral care, I think, is something that is so grey in youth ministry. What is pastoral care? Like I think, and from everything that I have walked through in my journey, in my experience of youth ministry, is pastoral care is kind of like a charism that's through certain religious orders, you know, or through particular areas such as hospital ministry and chaplaincy and things like that. But here it is in our 8 focus areas in youth ministry, pastoral care. So to me, pastoral care is something that is looking at this first goal, that total, I'm going to get it right, total personal and spiritual growth of each person. By the way, I don't think that means each young person in the world, because that's a big responsibility. It's whoever's given to you. Okay. So this is where my big passion for child protection comes in. We really owe it to these young people to keep them safe. And what I mean by keeping them safe is that we kind of stand, if we're involved in youth ministry in any way, or if we are looking as a parish to employ someone as a youth minister, or we're looking at volunteer groups or youth teams or something to be doing youth ministry, that these young people deserve the best care when they're under our care. So we actually need to understand child protection legislation in our role, especially if you're employed. I'm going to show you a little baby of mine. This is a year's worth of research that I've done, just almost finished, on child protection policies and procedures and all of that throughout our country and throughout our diocese, mainly through New South Wales, because that's what I am totally versed in. But I've also looked internationally. I've looked at New Zealand. New Zealand have incredible policies. They're absolutely incredible. Ireland is probably my favourite. There's one diocese, the Diocese of Meath in Ireland, and it's absolutely stellar as a child protection in youth ministry policy. It's fantastic. And so I guess what I'm trying to push here is that if you are serious about looking at this first goal of youth ministry, looking at the total personal and spiritual needs of these young people, that we are doing right by them. And because some things can come up in young people, some things, and I, as part of my association in social work, I have these great articles that get sent to me through journals, and one that I read recently was talking about a concept that's now coming through psychology terminology, which is called adolescent turmoil. That this is actually a developmental stage in teenagers. That every young person goes through something called adolescent turmoil. This is really interesting because through so many of the years, people just kind of go, yeah, but all young people have issues. You know, let's just bypass that and look at how we can, you know, have a youth ministry or have a youth group or put on pizza and video nights and stuff like that. You know, all young people have issues. It's true. All young people have issues. But I don't have a wonderful, interesting fact slide like Scotty out the back when he was doing his. He has this great slide, which I've now seen twice this week. But it's these interesting facts of, I guess, what young people are dealing with. Now, stuff when I was a 16-year-old, the stuff that was common amongst the issues when I was a 16-year-old is now common amongst people who are 12. This is alarming. This is quite alarming. But to be able to understand it, that it's a developmental stage, that they're going through adolescent turmoil, is that it's looking at the fact, and this is totally off topic, this is totally not what I was planning on saying, but let's go with it, is that young people are going through this aspect of their development where they're learning who they are, they're learning responsibility and restriction all at once. They're learning that a sense of justice and a sense of right and wrong and a sense of responsibility to do something about it. This is a really beautiful aspect of youth, and that's why so many things like St. Vincent de Paul Society and all of that can really capitalise on getting their volunteers when they're young, because they are going through this aspect of change and sense of responsibility, sense of right and wrong, and they want to do something about it, and it's really cool. And if you're talking to them about God, you're talking to them about a God who loves them, when so much of their being is saying otherwise, they get this sense of right and wrong, and go, yeah. And right there in that moment, you might get an incredible evangelizer because they've just understood something that's absolutely right and absolutely incredible and moves them to want to share that with other people. So it's actually a really beautiful period of time. But what can happen is, in this adolescent turmoil, is if anything happens along the way in their environment and in their culture, in their biology, in their home life, in anything, if anything comes in and dents that developmental stage, it can lead to mental health issues. So youth ministers are dealing with really potentially vulnerable human beings. And I guess where we really need to be mindful here is how we respond to that. Okay? So here we are with burnout. What is burnout? I think we all know about what burnout feels like, what it can look like. And I actually think burnout has a real negative connotation to it. If we are looking at people in, no matter what they are in their church context, in ministry, and they just go, I'm so burnt out, I can't do this anymore. There is a level of, I just don't even want anything to do with that anymore. I actually found myself in that headspace when I was registering for Reclaim. And I'm like, I'm not going to any youth ministry workshops. Just don't even want to touch it. And then I'm like, hang on, I'm giving a youth ministry workshop. Okay, it was a real big hang on. But it wasn't because I was in burnout. It was because I was tired. And I think language is so important. If we label something as burnout when it's not actually burnout, we create a really negative mentality around that ministry and around what we're doing because we're calling it something that it's not and something that means we're exhausted and we don't want to do it and there's nothing left of us. When in actual fact, this concept called vicarious trauma or compassion fatigue is just that. Let's break this word open a little bit. Vicarious trauma. Some people I know just went to Europe for what seemed like 3 months but was like 3 weeks, but it was all over Facebook. And I was seeing everything they were doing every single day and I was living vicariously through them. So this whole aspect of vicarious trauma is being affected emotionally, physically, psychologically by someone else's stuff. Okay? And anyone who's been in youth ministry, anyone who's been in any type of pastoral ministry can understand this concept really well. It's not burnout. Language is so important. Compassion fatigue, it's that similar concept. You know, if we are in a position where we are constantly trying to tell young people, but no, yes, you are lovable and you have so much self-worth, and we're constantly saying that and we're constantly inserting love into people, we get exhausted at that level. Okay, we might not be burnt out. There might be so many other aspects of our being that's not actually exhausted or fatigued. It's just that compassion aspect that's fatigued. So it's about really recognizing where you're at. It's about really knowing what it is and what it's not. Okay? Everyone's kind of grabbing that concept. Okay. This is the Black Dog Institute, which is the Mental Health Institute of Australia. And they just recently posted this up on their Facebook page. And I thought it was quite interesting. And I've underlined the most prominent thing to me anyway, in that 1 in 4 young people are living with a mental disorder. These are Australian statistics, by the way. And youth suicide is still the leading cause of death in young people aged 15 to 24. That stat is 2 years old. So it's not like we're looking at back in 97 when it was the leading cause of death in young people as well, 1997. It's still in 2012, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, right? I don't really want to say this to kind of scare us or to harm us or to kind of really make us break over this, but this is the reality. We're dealing with young people. We're dealing with young people that are going through this adolescent turmoil where the nature of their life, the nature of bullying, has now completely changed in that it's instant, it's everywhere, it doesn't stop when school's over, it's in their face constantly. Okay, I was just recently at the Catholic Digital Media Conference, which was the lead up to this conference. And there's so much about evangelizing that we can be doing at social media. And you know what? The bullies know that. There is so much access to young people, to people with social media. And it's their world, as well as it's the world that we're trying to protect and we're trying to evangelize. So we have to be really mindful that this can be a moment of denting that adolescent turmoil aspect of someone's development. If you guys want to, that's their website, blackdoginstitute.org.au. There's lots of little fact sheets and really great information. This is just a screenshot of their fact sheet. How are we going for time? All right, we've got time for this. I need a volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? I need one volunteer. Yeah, come on down. You're going to be our youth minister. By the way, pretty much everyone here is going to have something to do. Would you like to stand over there? What's your name? Hello. Thank you, youth minister. Everybody, this is your youth minister. You don't need to stand in the spotlight. You'll be blinded. Now, all of you guys are going to come up to me in my hand of these little blue cards, and they are some issues. And what you're going to do is you're going to take an issue and you're going to say out loud to your youth minister what it is that you're holding, and you give it to her, okay? All right, so come on down one at a time. Yep, just go straight to her.
For sure.
Depression. Anxiety.
Anger issues. Self-esteem.
Okay. Just no. Stand there. So how did that feel, having everyone come and tell you their issues?
I was just worried that you asked me to know you more than me. That
and but how did that feel?
Yeah, well, there's all negative things coming to me, mm-hmm. and then you don't know what to do with them.
It's true. Now, that's not going to happen in a youth group. Not every single person is going to come up to you. I'm actually going to say what some of them were in case, you know, you didn't hear it or it wasn't yours. But carer for someone at home with a disability or a mental illness, divorce and separation, personal illness, worried for a friend's well-being, death of a loved one, eating disorders, school pressures, sexuality, family financial stress, drug and alcohol issues, suicide ideation, violent home life, self-harm, bullying, self-esteem issues, anger issues, anxiety, depression, peer pressure. There's so many more. There are so many issues that are facing young people. It's not just young people, by the way. You know, every human being at some point could be subject to any of these issues. I guess the point of that task is, or that activity, is that sometimes a young person comes to you and they might be dealing with something like peer pressure, but they don't understand that you've just been walking with someone who's dealing with depression or dealing with, you know, they're worried about their friend's well-being. You know, someone's just, in fact, yesterday when I was waiting for the doors to open to proclaim to register, I got a phone call from someone who's not in my youth ministry and he's not one of my youth leaders, but he's connected to another circle of mine. And he rang me up and he was saying to me, he doesn't really know where to go and he doesn't really know what to do, but a friend of his has just told him that she's suicidal and he doesn't really know what to do. This is as a friend. He's really worried and he doesn't know what to do. You know, and I was on the phone to him for a good hour, just the friend, like just the person that I know, trying to just kind of unpack it for him. Not unpack it of what it's like for that person, but just, I guess, his role as a friend in that situation. You know, the first thing I did, though, was find out how old that person was. That person was 21, is 21. Okay, it would have been a whole different type of a conversation if you told me that that person was under 16, just letting you know. Okay, so I had to have that conversation. That wasn't even in my scope of youth ministry. That was somebody that's just in my circle through another means. And yes, they do know that I'm a crisis counsellor, so they probably know that I'm someone who they can call in that sort of situation. But it's just to kind of open that scope that you don't have to be actually in it as the youth minister to know that a person's world can be rocked by any of this. Okay, and yes, suicide is a pretty strong example, and it's been talked about a lot in social media, in the media in general. It's been all over at the moment because of Robin Williams, and that in itself is scary. That in itself, the fact that it's talked about so much, can be a negative thing. You know, and in fact, in Australian law, if there is a report of suicide, reporters aren't actually legally allowed to say the means of how they did it. It's actually law, and it's also law that they put a helpline whenever they do a report. So you probably have noticed that, especially with the Robin Williams thing, that they would always be plugging Lifeline, Salvo Careline, etc., those sorts of 24-hour kids helpline, all those sorts of things. This law about not telling you the means of how they did it somehow doesn't matter when it's Hollywood. I don't get that. I really don't get that. Okay. So this is where we need to be looking after us as youth ministers. And had a conversation with someone at the start of, I don't know which conference now, it could have been this one, it could have been the digital media conference, but I said, oh, I'm a youth minister. And he goes, oh, I used to be a youth minister. He goes, in fact, I probably still am, even though I'm not actually a youth minister. And that's a reality. Every single one of us that's got anything to do with evangelizing in our parishes, in our groups, in our movements, in our communities, are youth ministers. We're family ministers, we're children's ministers. We are in ministry because we're evangelizing. And if that happens to be our focus is young people, then we're in it for youth ministry, you know. So that's just a nice little concept to put our head around. So self-care. Self-care is a concept that counselors know really well, that social workers know really well, psychologists, anybody who works in welfare would know, because what they are dealing with is quite full on. But I don't think we really look after ourselves very well when it comes to church stuff, when it comes to this sort of pastoral aspect of ministry. So the first thing is boundaries. We're looking at our personal space boundaries as well when we're interacting with young people. We're looking at our time. For some reason, when we finish our ministry time, we don't leave it there. Or if you're employed as a youth minister, you tend to carry that work with you everywhere you go. You don't kind of leave it at the office or anything like that. And there's lots of reasons for that, you know. Well, you know, young people don't turn off either, so why should I? And all this sort of stuff. The reality is, and this probably dawned on me even more so when I became a social worker and I became a crisis counsellor, the stuff that I deal with is so intense. It's a drop-in centre. I never know what I'm going to get that day. I can see up to 17 people in a day that is dealing with a crisis, from anything from homelessness to domestic violence, mental health issues, anything. When I leave work, I leave work. I can leave work, and it's okay. Even if I haven't housed that homeless person for the night, even if we weren't successful at getting that woman into a refuge, I can still leave my work. But for some reason, for nearly a decade of my life in youth ministry, that never really happened. I would take it home with me. And this is a trap, time and time again, that youth ministers get into, that I'm sure it exceeds so many different aspects of ministry anyway, that we just, there's a grey line of when we're in ministry and when we're not, and what that means and what that looks like. But we owe it to ourselves to have that boundary of our time, okay? And I've put a personal boundary there as well. The personal boundary is things like, I don't give out my mobile phone to my young people, especially if they're under 18. I just don't. My youth leaders know it eventually. They get it. I don't actually answer my phone a lot of the time anyway. But young people can access contact with you in so many other different means that they really don't need my mobile number. So it's a matter of kind of knowing, and for me, that is just a boundary. It's not a set rule, it's just a boundary. I don't want them to know my mobile number. The reason why, in my first couple of years of ministry, I learned that the hard way. And there are some things in ministry, there's some things in youth ministry that are unteachable, that you kind of have to learn on the job, but there are some things in youth ministry that I really wish someone was able to tell me. And a lot of that is about boundaries. Okay, so another thing about self-care is balance. And what I mean by balance is that we keep everything in check. That we actually, we're not completely around one particular aspect of who we are. You know, if we are in youth ministry, that's not our whole life. You know, it can be a lot of what we're doing. It can be a lot of why we wake up in the morning. It can be what's driving us. It can be our passion, but it's not our whole life. Things like your health and fitness and family, you know, social life, all that sort of stuff. I really struggled for a period of time where I actually had no social life. I was like, oh, what's going on here? And our own personal prayer time too. Sometimes we get so caught up when we go to conferences, when we go to retreats and things like that. There are so many gold pieces of information and so many amazing moments that are waiting there for us. And yet we might have a mentality of going, hang on, that's a really good idea for a youth night. And you start planning the youth night. I do it all the time. But anyway, you've got to really make sure that you're having time for yourself and you're getting input for yourself. This actually sounds really selfish, all of these things, but it's not. It's really not a selfish thing. And I have I'll just share with you, a couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with an illness and it's got no cure and it's a chronic thing and I'm going to have it forever probably. And he's hoping God can intervene at some stage there because it's quite debilitating sometimes. And I realised that my balance had to come really quickly into a new normal. What used to work for me no longer works for me. Okay, I'm an extrovert by nature. Now this illness is turning me so quickly into an introvert and I don't know how to handle it. I really don't know how to handle it. That something that used to charge me up in energy, something that used to be so incredibly beneficial for me was being around other people. Now it exhausts me and I can't do it. And it's really annoying. And I'm having to figure out that there's a new normal. And it happens all the time. Might not be in that sort of a concept. It could be you've all of a sudden gotten married and you've now got other responsibilities now. And so your balance has to become a new normal. So there are certain things now that are prioritising differently. So it's not that everything has to be even. That's not balance. It's working out what is the most important thing for you at the moment. So for me, when my health came to be an issue, it was probably an incredible push from God to get a core team of youth leaders in my leadership group to coordinate my youth groups now. And I'm having a very big step back role of that particular youth group. And the best thing about that, and this just makes me get so excited, is I'm watching these young people who started coming to youth group when they were in year 7, and they're being leaders. They're coordinating the youth group that I started 8 years ago. They're coordinating it now and they're doing it better. And that excites me so much that they're doing it. That it's just blowing my mind. I'm like, that's so cool, because we're meant to be creating these aspects of ministers. We are meant to be creating the next generation of youth ministers. If I can't work myself out of a job, it's probably why I've been doing it for nearly a decade, because I haven't been working myself out of a job. No. We need to actually be building up people to be leaders, to have this and take on these responsibilities, which is pretty cool. And my last point about self-care is beauty. Finding and entering into what we find really beautiful. So some people find nature really beautiful, some people find silence really beautiful. My beauty thing is I love going into an empty church, which is quite funny because I'm a youth minister, I'm trying to bring people into a church. But I find something so incredibly beautiful about going into an empty church and just being before God, in front of the tabernacle, and just there, and just that silence and that holiness and that just gorgeous intimate relationship that I can have in that moment is really beautiful. At the same time, I find a really nice cup of tea really beautiful as well. Okay, so it doesn't have to be a holy thing. But is it Archbishop Mark Coleridge? Yep. When he was in Canberra, one of the MGL sisters told me this story recently, and she was saying that she heard him speak this one time, and he was talking about stress, and he was talking about when it was really hard for him in Canberra, and he would walk through to the art galleries, and he would go into the free public sections of the art gallery, and this is the quote: he would let himself be ministered to through beauty. How awesome is that? To just allow yourself to know that beauty can be a place to minister to us, to look after us. So art, music — I'm not a musician, but I know musicians, and I know how much they need to have music and they need to play and just kind of center themselves in that way. So my little secret here about longevity in ministry is to really understand that we are worth the same amount of effort that we're putting in to our youth ministry. That if we're not kind of taking advantage of these moments to better ourselves and to look after ourselves, then we're missing the point. Why are we trying to drain ourselves just for the sake of young people? You know, they are worth it, but we are just as worth it. Okay. The other aspect is to know what our role is. In Corinthians, St. Paul talks about how that he'll be planting a seed and Apollos will water it, but God's causing the growth. God's doing the growth. So who are we when we are in ministry with someone? Are we the seed planter or are we the waterer? Sometimes we could be both at the one time. But I could be talking to a room of young people about a message about God's love, for example, and someone else has already planted that seed in them, but I'm watering that. But I'm also, at the same time, I could be planting that seed for the first time in someone completely different. And so knowing your role is really important, because we might not ever see the result of what we're doing in ministry, and we need to be okay with that. We need to be okay that we might not ever know what that will look like for someone. And I do have a story to tell you about that, which is quite amazing. These young people would come to my youth group, and they went through from year 7 to 10, and they were rat bags. Oh my gosh, they were really, really, really difficult kids. But they came, their brother and sister, and they came and they brought their peers with them, and it was great because we were having young people come. It was great. But like every Friday night, I'd be going, oh my gosh, where's he gone? I'd go outside and he's on top of the roof. And I'm like, okay, calm down, please. I'm going to get in so much trouble. Anyway, things like that. Or they'd just be like, yeah, we're over this group, and they'll go across the road to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. And I'm like, yeah. So these kids drove me nuts for 4 years. And I knew that they were coming because of the social aspect. Even though every single Friday night we pray and we have like a half an hour of prayer time, they didn't really care about that. A couple of months ago, they came to my parish, and I was at a Saturday evening mass, and I usually go to the Sunday evening mass. So I was at a particular mass that I don't actually go to normally, and these two young people who I haven't seen in a couple of years were there, this brother and sister. And so I took the opportunity to go up to them and be like, hi, strangers, how are you going? And they just turned to me and said, oh, Yeah, our world's kind of falling apart. We've just lost our mum. And it just, like, I had to step back and I was like, oh my gosh. And they said, we didn't really know where to go, but we remember the feeling that we had when we used to come here to youth group. And we thought, this is the best place for us to be. And, like, I still get really emotional when I say that, because do you know what? I didn't even know that I was making any difference to them when they were there. To me, they were the people that were climbing on the roof and going to 7-Eleven and stressing me out, and something was there. Something was there. So anyway, okay. And the other point is to really focus on God. That's why we do what we're doing. It is all about Him. It's all about these young people building relationship with God. But can I tell you, the most inspiring moments for my faith development has been through what young people come out with their faith, have been their testimonies, have been that story that I just told you. Like, those moments, like, I just go, wow, God, you're so much bigger than what I thought. Okay? We heard in the first keynote speak from yesterday about Saddleback Church. Doug Fields was at the youth pastor of Saddleback, and he wrote this incredible book. Okay, it's just Rick Warren, who wrote Purpose Driven Life, also wrote Purpose Driven Church, and Doug Fields wrote Purpose Driven Youth Ministry. It's a really great book. It's really easy to read. And I read it in my first couple of years of youth ministry, and I'm so grateful that I did. But he says this one thing, and I don't know if you can see it, that says, you will never be able to do enough to please everyone. Focus on me, rest in me, abide in me. When your heart is turned toward me, we can work together and do some good things. That was a whisper that he had from God when he was almost at his end. And he was just brought back really quickly about what it's all about. Probably the last thing that I really want to do is I guess just let you know that there is stuff out there, okay? In the in my little year's worth of research that I've been doing, and in my own time, that's what I do. There is stuff out there. There are incredible guidelines for us to work with. We can learn a lot from other denominations as well. That's part of my research too. But there are even things like we have the National Professional Standards Office, which is also a work of the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference. But they have, three documents in particular. Integrity in the Service of the Church, which is for lay workers, and it's a really good guideline for people to know, I guess, how to be supported, and for any parish who's wanting to employ a youth minister or who is employing a youth minister to make sure that they are complying to these sorts of guidelines. The Integrity in Ministry, which is a document for clergy and religious, and probably everyone's heard of Towards Healing, but these are all accessible, okay? It's really easy to get the contacts for your local professional standards office in your diocese. Okay, honestly, it's a matter of a Google search or going onto your diocesan website. And they can send these things out to you. But in addition to all of that, they've also got things like guidelines on running camps and retreats and what's expected of you and behaviours and how to use technology with young people and things like that. So they've got great things that are downloadable, and they've got great documents that they can send out to you as well. Okay, so I hope that's been really beneficial for you guys. As you can tell, I am quite passionate about it. this presentation has changed a gazillion times, especially over the conference, because I've been working with, I guess, what we've been looking at as a conference as well, because I really wanted it to align with the spirit of the conference. So I hope that it's aided you guys, and I hope that it can be used and you guys feel a little bit more equipped and understand youth culture a little bit more and our role and how to protect us. So thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Corinne. I think it's brilliant that we've been able to learn a little bit more about how to pastorally care for young people and ourselves in particular. Just two things. I'd encourage you to take out of your booklets evaluation number 5 and fill that in, and I'll have a bag up here at the front for you to drop that in on the way. But just in our last couple of minutes, I don't know if you want to answer any questions while people fill in their evaluations.
Sure.
Before we head off to afternoon tea.
Is there any questions? Yeah. Are there any questions?
Yep.
So it's, I'll tell you what it's called. So you can Google it. It's called This Is Discipleship. Yes.
So I find that the principles are easy to like hear, and like it's well and good to hear that, but how is that lived out in reality? You know, there is a real tension as a youth worker to be there, to be on call, to be available. How do you do that in reality, or how do you reconcile that tension in your own life?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The question, my interpretation of your question is how do all these principles about your boundaries and all of that kind of play out in reality? Mm. It's about, sometimes they get crossed and you know when they're being crossed, you know, and it's about being really mindful during those moments of going, yeah, okay. At the end of the day, we can't really be so structured in such a clinical way that we become detached to young people, that we become detached to anyone that we're ministering to. We still need to be operating out of a moment of love, out of a moment of care and concern. So if you are getting a call at midnight and you have the capacity to answer that call in the moment, you know, you're your best instinct navigator. You know what's right for you in that way in terms of your boundaries and things like that, okay? But it's a matter of kind of not telling someone that you can be there 24/7 for them and things like that, okay? There's also knowing your limits and knowing your limitations, I should say, as well, is that we can't be everything to everyone. When we had our lovely youth minister up the front and we were handing out all, and we were giving her all our issues, it's not her job to counsel the young people through all of that. But her job is to love you, and in loving you in that moment, it might be about referring you to the appropriate agency, the appropriate person, the appropriate what have you, okay? So it's kind of, that is another form of a boundary, is recognising your limitations, that you might not all be qualified counsellors, but you're qualified disciples. You're qualified in love. Scott?
Yeah, it's kind of a broader question, and I don't think it necessarily affects us too badly. We have a full-time counsellor on our team. But the amount of times that I have to go to her with referral, are parish youth workers set up to fail in terms of referral? Like, is there enough being done for them to refer crisis situations? Because you and I both acknowledge it, 1 in 4 young people has a mental illness. There's more girls in our youth group with effects of eating disorders than girls without effects of eating disorders. Are we doing enough to support our youth workers for referral stuff?
Hence the workshop. I think we have a long way to go. I think we're doing the right steps towards doing this. I think with these documents and all that sort of stuff, you know, it is putting kind of guidelines in place. It's about a culture shift of attitudes, of understanding that youth ministry has changed in the last decade, you know. 30 years ago, it's changed from 30 years ago. It's changed from when parish priests used to be the ones who did everything and lay people couldn't. It's changed from that, but it's just changed in the last 10 years. In the last 10 years that I've been a parish-based youth minister, it's changed dramatically about what youth ministry looks like, what's expected of us and all that sort of stuff. So it's a matter of kind of, especially if you're employed as a youth minister, to actually see not just what the church offers in terms of upskilling you and support, but what other things are out there. I've done suicide prevention training and all that sort of stuff. I've done it because, yes, I'm a social worker, I'm a crisis counsellor, but that was all before I was employed as a crisis counsellor. I've been a social worker for longer than I've been a crisis counsellor. But I was also doing it knowing that I deal with young people, that this could be their reality one day. And so we can't just simply look at the church and say, you're not doing enough, but we have to take some of the responsibility ourselves. But yes, to answer your question, we need to be doing a lot more. We do. We need to be supporting our youth ministers a lot more. And it takes more than just the person who's employing them. It takes more than just the parish priest. The parish priest is everything to everyone in a parish. Yes, he's our boss if you're employed in a parish context, okay? But he's the pastor of the whole church. And we need to make sure that we know the structures that are in place, and if the structures aren't in place, do a research project and present it to the people that you need to present it to and see how you go. But build yourself up. Take that responsibility to yourself as well. And it's a whole body of Christ issue. It's not just relying on the structures that are in place and all of that. It's where do you go for your pastoral needs? Probably go to someone from your community. I go to someone from my community. Yep.
I'm just in sort of preparation to that. I've got two youth workers, part-time, which equals one full-time youth worker, because they need to work in pairs. You can't do it on your own. I was hoping that you would have given some more instruction of resources that were out there. I sort of didn't get that. And only to the thing was that, in one experience I have, I've got my two youth workers have got each an individual mentor out stepping outside the whole Catholic diocese thing. So they have someone they can go to, totally confident knowing that they'll get support and help, and I pay that resource.
Great.
And I think that's
that's
what they need. Yes. But I was just hoping that the diocese, after a lot of youth workers, I've been, like you said, preaching to do it, and that's what I did when I was first ordained.
Yes.
I was just hoping the church had more resources than actually from what you portrayed that it doesn't have. We seem to be still lacking a lot.
Yeah.
And it's up to the responsibility of the
same
person
time,
themselves.
That's right. But at the same time, there is so much out there in terms of resources. I'm going to do a plug to XT3. XT3 have incredible resources from actual, like, how to do youth ministry nights and things like that, and kind of like print off and things like that. There is so much out there in the web. The work has been done in a lot of the way in terms of those sorts of practical resources, but the resources of kind of, I guess, out there about professional supervision and things like that, that's kind of a very clinical term, but that sort of stuff tends to be really prominent in communities, in religious orders and things like that, but not necessarily in parishes. So
every parish is part of the diocese. Most dioceses would have Catholic care or Sinti care.
Absolutely.
And if parishes aren't linking to that, that would be your first call.
Well,
I think that has to happen.
Yeah, and that's what I said at the start. Like, the longer that I've been employed as a youth minister, the more I've actually realised there are so many agencies and things out there. So it's almost as if, like, there needs to be someone to be there for youth ministers to help them navigate through what to do and how to do it, okay?
Thank you very much for your workshop. Thank you very much for your time. It was very insightful. I'm very glad we finally held Winnie the Pooh accountable for all this craziness in the world, but also a great lens in which we think about our young people and think about ourselves. Thank you very much for all of your work, and a small gift for you. And if there's any questions...
Thanks for listening to the Proclaim 2014 podcasts, recorded by Cradio and xt3.com.
Cradio.org.au